Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Me chatting next. I didn't mean to. But anyway, the students had a nice, did you hear my interns? Aren't they precious?
They are. Very good.
Yeah.
Good of you to do that.
Yeah, hospitable and everything. And because I'm teaching them how to receive guests, seat them, you know, the that side of working in this business. And it takes the pressure off of us for a minute to have a little bit of help.
A young man came down and got me into the building and got me comfortably seated.
Excellent.
Gave me some water.
Excellent. His mother would be so proud. Okay.
She ought to be. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And anyway, guess who's here?
The former mayor.
I mean, for real.
Who should have been governor, I might add.
We were just reminiscing about Christmas parties.
Oh, my God.
I missed the Christmas parties for 7 years now. Yeah.
The world's greatest Christmas party. And I haven't had it for the last couple of years because of the COVID. You know, I just kind of, you know, did the talk to people over the phone thing, and you know, not the same.
No,
everybody missed the singing of the songs and being together. So hopefully this year I'll be able to bring it back. You know, the Christmas party has now become a tradition. My show is officially 20 years old, and yes,
congratulations.
Thank you. I know that's in this business. And sponsored for 20 straight years. And in this business, that is unheard of. And so I'm feeling really good about it. And, you know, I'm sure in my photo albums, I'm sure I've got some pictures of you singing somewhere. I'm just sure that you sung.
I have sang it.
Okay, that's what I thought. You were in the choir, in the All-City Community Choir. And when we gather again, because every mayor except the current has participated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's got an opportunity still this year to do that.
He better, because I told him, I said, this phone stuff, honey, is not sufficient. You must touch the campus, and not just the president's office. You need to come over here. Anyway, having said that, now, since the run, you haven't been mayor in 7 years.
Right.
Then you decide to run for governor.
Right.
Are you officially out of politics?
Well, I'm not doing anything, and I don't have any plans to do anything. I don't know that I would say that under no circumstances would I ever run for office again, but I don't see it. I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah. Have you had you went metro, state, wide. What could possibly be next after that? Congress, Senate?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I'm a Democrat, so it's a difficult state for a Democrat.
Oh, my God, yes.
And, you know, I've been mayor, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, but, you know, I've got 3 grandkids, and another one on the way. And
how old are they?
5 and 3.
Okay.
And we have, and then they're expecting another. So, and they live real near us, so we get to see them a lot, which has been great.
Is that not the most wonderful thing, having grandkids?
Oh, yeah, it is.
There's nothing like it.
And so we have family, and I've been enjoying life. I mean, COVID things, you know, put everybody in a weird position.
It did.
You know, we had planned, I guess, during when COVID started in 2020, we were, you know, I've been teaching some at different places, and we thought we'd travel a lot. And I mean, by traveling, getting in a car and going to some states that I hadn't seen and doing some things we hadn't done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and COVID kind of ended that discussion for good 2 years, and hopefully now we'll be able to do all that stuff.
Certainly did. Now, when your grandkids grow up, and they've discovered that you were the mayor of Nashville, and they say, what do they call you, Papa or Grandpa?
You know, they call me Carl.
They call you by your name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Carl. That's interesting.
Yeah. That they... Well, it started, and I kind of like it, and it's fine.
Okay. Well, as they grow up and get older, and they decide to run for politics, do you think good idea or not?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely be supportive of anything that any of my kids or grandkids wanted to do. I mean, I have no regrets about being involved with politics. I love being mayor of the city. It was a great city. It was a great honor.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest honor you could have. And I feel you can do a lot of positive things. So I would hope, I would expect them to be interested in governmental affairs and what's going on in the future of their state, city, or country.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to do that.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, you know, I was thinking family legacy or something like that.
Well, they don't need to do it because the old man did it. They can do it if that's what they're interested in.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, tell the audience, because we got a lot of newbies in Nashville.
Yeah.
What years that you served as the mayor of this city that we all live in?
I was mayor from September of 07 to September of 2015.
Okay. A lot of change came during that time.
Yeah. I mean, Nashville, you know, of course, has seen a lot of change over the past 30, 50 years, really. But my terms, you know, I had my first term. I was elected in 07. And, you know, the big thing that happened early on in 08 was the beginning of the Great Recession, which, you know, obviously had a big impact on the city and trying to deal with that. And then we had the flood in 2010. And then, you know, the city really began to take off economically in terms of the recovery. We were kind of stronger than most places. We opened the convention center and we saw downtown, which is already, revival had already begun there, but it kind of kicked into a higher gear. So it was an interesting time.
Did you inherit revival? Because I remember, it seemed like many years as I've been on the air, and it's much more than 20, the discussion about downtown, yeah, downtown has always been something that the community has been told to over and over to support.
Right.
That revival started before.
Oh, long before me. Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure. I mean, I don't know when you would start it. I mean, I can certainly think of things that Richard Fulton did in the 60s, such as the Riverfront Park, the original Riverfront Park downtown, the first convention center. He did a lot of things to encourage people to look at downtown. Phil Bredesen, obviously, you know, building the stadium, the football stadium,
yeah,
and the arena. I was big on downtown. Bill Purcell, who I worked for, I was the law director in his administration, and, you know, Bill did a lot for downtown. I mean, I think every mayor has understood that the city's got to have a strong core.
Sure.
And if you have a strong core, it's going to help the whole city. And, you know, one of the things that's happened in Nashville has just gotten stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, it's just ripping and roaring.
It is, and too much to a certain degree.
Yeah. It's a lot, but it's better for the city than the alternative.
Well, I mean, for the people that live here, they can barely afford it. And was that ever a thought in your mind that it would get to that place that it would be so unaffordable that they folks had to flee to go to the counties around Davidson?
Well, I mean, that was already happening to a degree. I mean, people were moving to other counties for, you know, whether it's education or whether it's for cheaper housing costs for a long time.
Okay.
Certainly, it crossed my mind that Nashville was going to continue to prosper. But remember, when I was working on these issues, we were coming out of the recession. We were having like 10% unemployment. You know, we were cutting the budget.
Wow.
I mean, it was not a time when there was a lot of economic activity.
Sure.
So, I mean, I was pretty committed to doing whatever I could to create jobs and create opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I do think the key thing for a city to succeed is to be a place where there are lots of jobs.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, it's easy to set up a scenario where there are no jobs and there are no housing issues and there is no increase in costs, but that doesn't create much of a future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to watch it. We got to do what we can with issues such as affordable housing. We got to make sure people have opportunities to get these jobs. But opportunity is everything, I think.
Well, and the also, has Nashville's demographic changed a lot since you were mayor? I know it was beginning to be so diverse, a very diverse place.
Yeah, it was changing. Well, it was changing before I was mayor, and people, I think, you know, even before I got elected, certainly when Mayor Purcell was in office, they noticed it, and when I was in office, they definitely noticed it. Because that's when we had the first, you know, English-only efforts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Nashville has become even more diverse. And I think that's been a great asset for our city. I mean, we are a city where there are lots of people from different backgrounds, people from all over the world and all over the country come here to live.
Sure.
And it's made us a more interesting city. I think it's made us a stronger city. You know, opportunity, diversity, those are, to me, are key parts of any city's success.
Well, knowing that that is how you feel and how you tried to run your administration, and now you hear people that want to diminish diversity, don't even want you to discuss it, talk about it, bring it up, let alone have it. What do you think about that?
Well, it's not good. I mean, you know, I felt, when I can talk about something that happened when I was mayor, I think it was 09, and we had the English-only effort. And I saw that as a real threat to the city's future.
I remember.
I mean, if that had passed, you would have basically be telling people, don't come here. If you don't speak our language, don't come here if you're different. And a city cannot succeed unless it embraces outsiders and embraces diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, saying you're not going to be diverse, being unfriendly, is just a ticket to failure.
Yeah. Well, and that was voted down, a couple of times?
Overwhelmingly. Yeah. Well, I mean, during Mayor Purcell's administration, the council passed something that he vetoed, and that veto stood. And then when I was mayor, there was a full-blown election on it, a referendum.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And that got beat fairly handily. I mean, it was a big day for Nashville. It was a good day for Nashville. And the group that came together to work against it, you know, you had conservatives, you had liberals, mm-hmm. you had the Chamber of Commerce working against it, you had unions working against it. I mean, people just knew that we couldn't be an unfriendly city and expect to succeed.
Right. Well, and I guess the result is they look around their communities and they see businesses that are diverse. They see so much culture.
Oh, yeah.
How could they say no to that? I mean, you know.
Well, people want to live here. I mean, you know, it's a great thing that people want to move to Nashville and live. I think it's a wonderful thing that our kids want to stay in Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like an old man here, but it's a great thing when your kids say, hey, I want to come home.
Yeah.
And there's opportunities here.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I think it's just... It's a great city. It is a great
city. Anytime your kids want to visit or come see you and they're grown, that's a good thing because they can get their own place.
That's right.
Yeah. We can get together on the family times, but they don't have to live there. They don't necessarily have to live there. You're not that old.
No, I'm 60. I'm 66.
Oh, you were able to get up here. So
I did. Flights of stairs. I didn't run up the stairs, but I was able to get up.
Oh, neither do I. Just 16 years. Yeah, I take, you know, breaks. You know, like when you're on an airplane, they tell you, if you have trouble breathing or whatever, the mask is going to fall down from the ceiling. You know, that's what I need, one of those, you know, trying to get to the top sometime. The humidity does wreak havoc, though. That would be the, I've always called on the air, Mayor, we have our own sound effects. That would be the 515 for Smyrna. there's no such thing as that. But when we come back from the break, if you have a question or comment and you want to ask, make a statement to ask, don't, you know, wait until the top of the hour. Our number is 615-329-8810. And that is our real sound effect that only this neighborhood produces when you're on the air and the window is open. And my vision is that one day when I say that's the 415 this morning, there will actually be one. Okay? Like Dr. King, Martin Luther King, I have a dream, okay? And oh, for the days. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, Independent Agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's busy on the South Loop, the West Loop, 65. Very heavy down through Brentwood, Franklin. Moving a wreck at Church Street near the underpass. Just give yourself extra time. This traffic report brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from the Frist Art Museum, now presenting an exhibition of works by Nashville-based artist Alexander Bryant, addressing themes of perseverance, family, economic inequality, and community activism. This multimedia exposition includes photography, video, wheat-based murals, and a concrete installation piece created exclusively for this show. The Frist is open Thursdays through Sundays, and the exhibition is on view through May 1st. Learn more about the expositions and programs at fristartmuseum.org.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Sunday morning at 7, I'll have your news headlines and issues of the day. Then at 8 o'clock, the author of the short Bible, Peter J. Bielsma, is back to continue our discussion on his book. It's a chronological summary of the Old and New Testament. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control. So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Veterans, you may have earned a variety of VA benefits. Did you know VA can help you further your education and pursue professional training? The Home Loan Guarantee Program can help you buy, repair, or adapt a home. VA provides housing support if you find yourself homeless or at risk of homelessness. And don't forget, world-class health care. Learn more about these and other VA benefits. Visit choose.va.gov.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. I did want to talk about this weather because folks have really been wound up tight as can be on this weather and talking about it. And we have a wind advisory. Was it windy, Mayor Dean, when you came over?
No.
Really?
No.
Wasn't bad?
Nope.
Because they have done a great deal of, you know, batten down the hatches and all that for a couple of days now to indicate that if it happens, it will be quite windy and damaging winds, because that is what the National Weather Service says we have in store for us later on tonight. And speaking of that, if this is the same system that comes through here, according to Associated Press, severe storms include at least two tornadoes injured people, damaged homes and businesses in Arkansas and Missouri overnight. There's twisters and hurricane force winds probably blowing through, have been blowing through this way most of today, because it has been very, very windy today. There were no deaths reported last night and today, and a tornado hit Springdale, Arkansas. And so that's how it's looking. It was an EF2, and so that is my maybe why some of the concern is there for us. Now, I have been checking a great deal during the time I've been on the air and prior, and I think the winds have calmed down a bit. And, you know, our luck will be that we're home asleep, or it's after 10 or 11, and then this thing heats up.
Yeah.
So,
Well, it's supposed to heat up as it night goes on.
Yeah.
But it was windy earlier. I was thinking at home we have a cherry blossom tree, and it's really blossoming right now. And during the course of the day, a lot of it blew off.
Yes. Yeah. And you may have thought it was snowing, some of you all, because I saw a bunch of that stuff blowing around this morning. Now, our chance for thunderstorms will come after 1 o'clock in the morning when everybody's asleep. And our low tonight will be 52. Much warmer than we've had all year. This was a prelude to what could happen this spring. You know, but this is up and down, up and down. And I'm grateful for one thing in this community, is that they do have the tornado sirens and the alert system. And when you saw the damage a couple of years ago when we had the deadly tornadoes,
right,
and then you dealt with the floods,
right,
were there some things that you put in place that you were happy that were in place?
Yeah, I mean, I think the city keeps looking at things and trying to improve. I mean, certainly the sirens have been a big addition to the city, and they're
adding
all
more. That has.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, warning systems do well, and I think the local media does a, you know, if something's going to happen, they're certainly on top of it.
On it, yeah. On it. And I have bought vehicles to make sure that they get there, and the staffs. That is really a time when they have been more on it than anything I have ever seen. Of all the portions of the city where you, because I remember you also were the infrastructure person too. Mm-hmm. And when you go out and about and you do the things you do, those conversations still come up. And you're stuck in traffic from time to time. You know what it's like.
Yep, I do. I think certainly Nashville needs to be always concerned about investing in transportation. I think we're going to continue to grow, and so how people can get around the city, how they can get around the entire region is really important. I mean, you know, I think we've got some tough traffic challenges in Nashville. We have tough traffic challenges for people trying to get to Murfreesboro at the end of the day, or trying to, you
that
know, go to
crazy.
You know,
yeah.
Clarksville.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that, you know, there'll be responses to that. You know, infrastructure, every mayor has to worry about infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't take your eye off it. It's not like it's you ever get it done. You got to continually invest in it,
mm-hmm,
and you got to continually try to upgrade. And that's important for the quality of life in a city.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, we're still having the discussions and conversations that not enough pressure was brought to bear with the developers as they built up our city. There was no hue and cry from the elected officials to make the infrastructure grow right along with it. What is your thought on that?
Well, I mean, there are certainly efforts to do that. I mean, I think that it's...
Because we're still talking about sidewalks.
Well, we had a long ways to make up for sidewalks.
Okay.
You know, Mayor Purcell started investing in sidewalks. We kept that up, and I'm assuming that everybody else has too. But, you know, we went for years without building sidewalks.
Yes.
Unlike most communities, we just didn't do it. And
right.
So then when we decided that we wanted sidewalks, it takes time. But there, I mean, I know the Purcell administration, my time, there were sizable investments in sidewalks. And that
yeah.
continues. I think we need to be, you know, we did a lot of work with things you don't really see. We did a massive amount of work with stormwater and sewage.
Mm-hmm.
That's an endless task. And the stormwater issues in Nashville are complex because we're on a river, we're on creeks, we got streams everywhere. That has to keep going. I think the big issue is transit. You know, certainly I fought the transit battles and I have scars on my body to prove it. It's a hard thing to do.
It is.
And I think you need to have leadership on the federal level, the state level, and the local level to get it done. I think it'll happen because people will demand it.
Yeah.
But I do think there have been efforts to do that.
Do you think that in the current situation, the infrastructure bill that the president has pushed and then what he would like
yeah.
to see, yeah,
well,
is what will have any impact for us to ease it up around here?
Well, I don't know what it'll do in Nashville specifically. I mean, hopefully we'll get our share. But I certainly applaud the president for having done it. I mean, it's like they talked about doing an infrastructure for 4 or 5 years before he got elected, and he got it done. I mean, an investment in infrastructure is an investment in the future.
Yeah.
You're going to get back what you're putting into it.
Yeah.
And so that was a wise thing to do. I applaud that.
Yeah. And the citizens of Nashville that went through the tornado...
Uh-huh.
And then went through the flood and then the tornado.
Right.
And you saw the way the community was devastated. I don't think Nashville has ever been devastated quite like that tornado did. From the extent. You know, the flood, it depends on where you lived.
Yeah.
But that tornado just wiped, you know, from one side of this county to the other and then skipped its way out. You know, it looked like it bounced across the river, did Donaldson,
right.
tore up Armitage, went on to...
Well, we had that, you know, the Mayor Cooper was faced with that challenge. Mayor Bredesen, of course, had the tornado when he was in office, which hit in West Nashville, Centennial Park area, then went over to East Nashville and did a lot of damage. So, you know, we're in an area with possibilities of flooding and certainly tornadoes where these natural disasters... have got to be on everybody's mind.
Should be if they're not.
Right.
Yeah. So, and knowing that that's the case, that, and I often think about this and wonder, we already know downtown was flooded in 2010. Why is there a rush to continue to build on the river? It just doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense.
I think that, you know, cities, the river for Nashville, I think, is a great asset. I mean, I think you look around the country and there are almost many great cities are on waterways.
Mm.
They're either on lakes, they're on the ocean, they're on rivers.
Yeah.
And the river has been the source of why Nashville's here. It's built here to be on the river.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the center of the city. And I think the Nashville has done right by sort of building to face the river and make it part of the city.
Right.
You know, the flooding downtown in 2010 was certainly severe.
Mm-hmm.
It got up, the water certainly got up into 2nd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple big buildings near the river that were damaged
mm-hmm.
in terms of their electrical systems. But I think, I still think building in the downtown area makes sense long term. Yeah.
And it didn't impact the other side where the Titans stayed?
No, it did. Sure, it flooded.
That's what I thought.
There was like, it was filled with water.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But you know, the water there came from below.
Okay.
And just you know, came up. There, you know, there are proposals and ways to look at how you can protect downtown better from flooding. Louisville has the same issues.
Yeah.
But East Nashville was hit definitely by the flood.
Now, the discussion of late is, and I guess it's probably been going on all the time, but we're just really hearing a lot about it. New Titan Stadium.
Yeah.
I knew it. You know, I knew. We were going to get asked to have to, you know, and some people haven't even been to the one we have. What's your thought on a new stadium?
Well, I mean, I certainly will not interfere with any of the discussions going on and leave it to the parties involved, but You know, the stadium opened in, I think, 1999, the year we went to the Super Bowl. And the lease on the stadium, which the city owns, is for 30 years. And so the lease expires. I mean, the state, it's up in 2029. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was clear that at some point during this decade, there was going to be a conversation about what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
And everything everybody assumed, because there are requirements that that are part of the deal, that the stadium maintain a certain standard, that there would be something done, whether it's large-scale renovations or whether it be a new stadium. And we'll just see how it plays out. I mean, but I think people knew this was going to, this day was coming, when a stadium has been there for 30 years and it's time to renegotiate.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. We're still paying for it.
Well, it doesn't seem that long to me either. I remember when it opened.
I do too.
I just become the law director then in 99. And so it seems like it's just yesterday.
Yeah.
But we have been an NFL city for quite a while now, and it's been successful. I mean, I will say without any question that the Titans coming to Nashville has been a good thing for Nashville, and it's been, and people love them.
Yeah, they do.
And people, I think, want to see them stick around.
Yeah. And I can remember the battle for putting it on the taxpayers.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, convincing the citizens.
The referendum.
Yeah, I remember all of
NFL,
that.
NFL, yes.
Yes. Yeah. And the yard signs and the debates and bringing, what was it, Jeff Fisher to town and dog and pony shows with him. I even have a picture in my home office of me and Jeff
Fisher. Well, they played it well by going to the Super Bowl the first year at the stadium.
Yeah, they did.
And I don't hear, I mean, I'm certainly not, you know, I don't have my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the city all the time. But I'm not hearing people, a lot of objections right now. People are waiting to see what's going to happen, what the deal is.
Yeah. Well, they might have something to say if they have to pay for it.
Right.
Or their taxes go up even higher than they already are. I'm certain that some of y'all are going to have something to say.
I'm sure. It will not be controversial.
No.
I don't know.
You think?
The word on the street is Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, Super Bowl, you can't afford a ticket anyway. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying what the word on the street is.
Well, the word
the national championship game.
Super Bowl in Nashville. Yeah. That seems to be...
Well, you got to get there first, right? Okay.
We're getting there. We're
not there. Okay, so Nashville, I say, who would pay for it, y'all? Now, you know you were squawking when Mayor Cooper asked y'all to, you know, dig deep and this and that, all that fighting and feuding, and hearing all those people saying that they
Super Bowl 2026.
Well, you know,
I'm just what they're saying. I'm just saying what they're saying.
Well, I think it's significant. It is significant that the state, that the governor, Governor Lee, has said that he's supportive of putting in a
$500 million,
which is a lot of money,
which is taxpayer money,
right.
But it's broadly spread across
the state, not just Nashville.
Right. It didn't come from his personal account.
And it's probably going to be a multi-purpose. It's not just going to be for football. So
I don't know. Was that ever in the mix?
Well, I think they're talking about doing a project where there's economic activity around the stadium, whether it's restaurants and living apartments, condos, things that will help offset the cost. I mean, this deal is, I have no inside knowledge, but it will probably be very complicated. It'll take a long time to get it all set up.
It will.
But I think the news in the last, at least in the early stages here, where the state's talking about making a sizable commitment, that's got to be seen as a positive thing.
Do you think because there's no place in Nashville to put it, it won't be in Nashville anymore?
No, it'll be in Nashville. It'll be on the river. I think if they build it, they'll build it there.
Where on the river?
Right where the stadium is now.
Tear it down?
Well, I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, whether you can save any of the shell or, I mean, I don't know. But I think, as I understand it, I could be missing the boat here somewhere, but my understanding is that it would go in essentially the same location, and there'd be more done in that area to develop that area.
Okay. Infrastructure.
Right. But there's already things happening over there that suggested that we're going to make infrastructure investments on that bank of the river anyway.
Well, I mean, interstate. Lord God Almighty, that's a clog city right there. That is an afternoon nightmare every single day, and you all know it because you're on it. And I don't know. I mean, because you get stuck on that, and it's the forever lane and forever trying to get out of it. And the tourists are coming through, going, traveling to other states. It's almost reminiscent of Atlanta. Former Nashville Mayor Carl Dean is in the house, and I haven't seen him in a while. And I just wanted to have a conversation with him when he wasn't running for office or he wasn't trying to run the city. And I just want to talk to Carl Dean, the person. And that is, and his grandkids call him by his first name. See, you heard that on the show today. That was fresh news, Mayor Dean. Because I'm Granny, straight up.
Now my wife, Ann, is Yaya. And I'm Carl.
Oh, well, you got to get you a special name.
I kind of like it.
It's no fun unless you have a special name. Or you just like them calling you that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Are you?
Yeah, I just...
Oh, my God. Yeah, I had to have, you know. I'm different from their other grandmothers.
I mean, I called my grandfather Grandpa. But I'm fine with Carl.
That is interesting. Well, everybody loves what they love. Anyway, for questions or comments, 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's busy on the South Loop, the West Loop, 65, very heavy now through Brentwood, Franklin, moving around to Church Street near the underpass. Just give yourself extra time. This traffic report brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from the Global Education Center, welcoming local poet Major Jackson to read his work on poetry and community as part of their Black Arts in America project on Friday evening, April 15th. At 7 p.m. at the Global Education Center, West Nashville site, 4822 Charlotte Avenue. Stories of the Beloved Community with Major Jackson, April 15th, is a free event, but donations are graciously accepted. For more information, visit globaleducationcenter.org.
Don't miss WFSK's Artist of the Week Thursdays right here on Nashville's Jazz Station. That's where we put the spotlight on new releases. This week in the spotlight is flutist and educator Kim Scott. Her latest release is entitled Shine. You'll hear from Kim in a live interview and have a chance to win her brand new release. That's WFSK Artist of the Week Thursdays on Nashville's Jazz Station, Jazzy 88 WFSK. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. Tomorrow's Artist of the Week Spotlight puts the bright light on flutist and educator Kim Scott. You will remember that we carry Kim's national radio show the Block Party radio show. And she's one of the few women that in this genre that does a syndicated radio show. And we're very happy to be one of the original stations to carry her broadcast. As well as she has a new album entitled Shine. So we'll talk with Kim tomorrow, check in on her, and see how things are going from her home in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, former Nashville Mayor Carl Dean is here. X, I want to bring you into this conversation for just a second, please. Do you remember the days of when Mayor Dean used to come?
Of course,
over to the studios. And wasn't this the highlight of his life?
Yes.
I mean, he would always
because he knew that you were going to treat him fair.
Yes, I did.
That's my opinion. And he knew that when he came here, that he was going to get an opportunity to speak to the community, speak to Nashville. And not have to, we know what goes on other places.
Yeah. And so I told him during the break that he was one of the only mayors in Nashville, because, you know, I've been here 36 years, and in covering and doing in the media and working in the community, and the Black community would pull me to the side and say, "Sherry K, would you stop being so hard on Carl Dean?" I said, "I am not hard on this man." "Yes, you are. You need to quit being so hard on him, Sharon. We need him to get some things done. He just be on that radio wearing him out." I said, "No, I don't. Mayor Dean, now you can set the record straight. I was kind and sweet to you."
Oh, you are. I think that it's exactly right. The comment that I knew when I came here, you might not praise everything I was saying.
No,
that's not your job.
No, I didn't.
But I always felt I had the ability to say what I needed to say.
You did.
And you would be respectful and nice and kind, and I liked you personally. And you were nice to me. I never felt at all nervous about coming here.
Good. Because, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm not like that, Joe. But there were some times I had to say, "Now, look."
I would come sometimes. I remember you talked about taxes. You know, we raised taxes twice when I was mayor.
Yes.
And I never thought you were a big fan of that.
No.
So, I mean, it was important that I come here and talk about it, because that was something the community needed to hear me talk about why we were doing that.
It was. And I remember a couple of the hotbed issues. One of them was with the police department and the cameras and the things of law enforcement community and the issues around that. And that was one of those areas that, you know, I can't sit here and do this job and not look out and be in the community and not bring up the subject matters with you. Because there's always been, was always a controversy.
There always will be controversies around.
True.
Taxes and around police policies.
It will be.
That's part of being a mayor.
Well, there were some things that they didn't feel, wasn't feeling about the former chief. And that was one of the areas that the community was not feeling. And another area that I remember having to, you know, bring up over and over was North Nashville.
Yeah.
And I do remember in one of the interviews that I think it might have been the one that when you were just getting out of politics, just leaving the mayor's office, and I had you come up and ask you, what was one of the things that you regretted after serving the terms that you didn't get to complete? And you said it was doing more for the Jefferson Street, North Nashville area. And you found your way back over here without a GPS. You remember how to get here. So how do you feel about the area now? And you've been gone out of office for a while.
Yeah, 7 years. Well, I think the area is continues to advance, and I think is doing well. I mean, I think the key things are obviously Fisk and TSU.
Yeah.
I mean, their strength, and I think that right now, hopefully things are going.
Well, Fisk, TSU, and Meharry.
And Meharry,
yes.
Right. Sorry. And I think the anchor of, you know, we built the Sound Stadium when I was mayor, which I think anchored that end in a good way.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so,
Sulphurdale.
That's Sulphurdale.
Yeah. That's how I learned what Sulphurdale was.
That's what they wanted. They wanted to build the stadium on the river, and we said, no, you got to build it here because we need an investment in North Nashville, and it ought to be built where historically baseball is played in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's been a good thing for the city.
And the infrastructure.
A lot of infrastructure.
Do you see it as, doggone, 7 years, it still look the same, or slowly but surely?
Oh, it's improving. It's definitely improving.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because this has always been when the folks come and run for the office and do their dog and pony shows on the radio and ask for your vote and all that stuff. You know, everybody's up for it. As long as I've been doing this on the air, a long time, it's always, and we're going to fix Jefferson Street and we're going to fix North Nashville.
Well, you know, I will say this. When I drove over here today, I drove from West Nashville, and I took the 28th Avenue connector, which we built when I was in office. And the idea with that was that because of actions taken in the past and not having a connection between West End and Jefferson Street and North Nashville, that had been a bad thing for North Nashville.
It was ridiculous.
And so, you know, I didn't do, you know, the city did this project, but I was mayor then, the 28th Avenue connector, which connected those two areas.
Yeah.
And I rode across it, and I don't drive around thinking about this happened when I was mayor. I mean, I'm thinking about other things these days.
Like traffic. Yeah.
But when I drove across that bridge, I thought about that bridge. I thought, this is a good thing to have done.
Because that was like a dividing, was a big issue for Nashville.
And I believed in bridges as connectors. I mean, that's what you got to do for a city. About diversity and all these things. You got to bring people together.
Yeah.
And so the more you do to connect people, the better. And transit's part of that.
Why was that? And I know there's probably a story, and I had, can't think of it off the top of my head, but why was it that it never connected? Because it seems like a natural thing to do.
I think for years it was probably something that no one really just focused on. I actually learned about it. I went to an event when I was running for mayor the first time in 07. I went to an event at TSU on the history of Jefferson Street.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody spoke. Council Lady Sharon had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. Somebody spoke about the idea of a connector or fixing the break that happened when the railroads and all that split North Nashville from West Nashville. And I talked to some people there about this, and I just thought, this is something you ought to do. And I remember, people in HCA was tremendously supportive.
Yeah.
And you've seen the growth of the business around that area, too. It's been a good thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, investing in infrastructure, investing in connecting people, believing in a diverse city and a strong city, believing in opportunity, That's what you do. That's what you got to do. And this is a great city. I used to say all the time as mayor, I'd say, Nashville's best days are still ahead of us, and I believe that still.
Yeah. Well, to me, it just seemed like stupid. You know, I'm like, why is this like this? And, you know, because the stuff that the communities had to fight tooth and nail to get were not as complicated as I think Nashville was making them. And that's what made the fight even harder. Because that was just a matter of opening the road up and
It was not a politically unpopular thing to do. People wanted that road. Yes. And once we went forward with it, everybody was all for it. It was not a hard sell.
No, it shouldn't have been. Because I think people on one side were like, why can't we get over on that side? And, you know, for folks that's never traveled that, they don't understand. It seems kind of ridiculous to have it, you know, where you can't. You got to go so far, and then you have to go.
Then come back.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And because the flow is easy to get.
Well, and it's remember, Francis Guest was big on.
Yes, his name is on the thing. Yeah.
Rightfully so. Yeah. Rightfully so. He got it. He got it. He knew about it, and he got it immediately.
Well, he had that way with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had this way.
And good man.
Yeah. Because what is it? Is his name the? Is it the Francis Guest Connector or something like that? Okay. Yeah, it's people like that that it took them having their relationships with the ones that could get the job done.
Right.
So, now, Mayor, let me ask you some other kind of stuff now. Sharon Kay is nosy. Ever a little so slightly. Okay, when you were mayor, what was your favorite restaurant?
When I was mayor?
Yeah.
Well, I had so many. For lunch, I'd go to Germantown Cafe frequently. That was favorite. I liked Jimmy Kelly's.
Are any of them gone that you used to like?
Well, Jimmy Kelly's is certainly still here. I'm assuming the Germantown Cafe is in Germantown. If it's, yeah.
It's there.
It's still there. Yeah, I went there all the time for lunch.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of people have, you know, fond memories of certain places that are now having to, you know, after dealing with COVID, having to close. And,
right.
You know, we've lost some places.
But you talked about Nashville being diverse and changing. What a different city this is now from what it was 30 years ago in terms of restaurants and dining. We are one of the hot restaurant cities in the country. And, you know, it's not cheap, but you have all sorts of choices.
Yes, you do.
And I remember when I was in law school back in the 70s, I mean, if you wanted Italian food, it was like Pizza Hut, you know. Yeah. And now it's, you know, whatever you, nothing against Pizza Hut.
Yeah,
I like,
that's
pizza.
Definitely not Italian food. Well, because I know I talked to former Mayor Purcell. He was the hot chicken mayor.
He's the hot chicken mayor.
Yes, Lord. And so what were you the mayor? What food were you the mayor of? Italian food?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love pizza. I'm one who loves pizza. I like all kinds of food. I like hot chicken. I mean, Bill got me interested in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are you in the hot chicken wars where you drive all over and try everybody's?
I try whatever I can. I've been... when I was mayor, I was, I think, judge almost every year in the Hot Chicken Festival
that
Diane
Neighbors
Bill worked on.
That's an acquired taste, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but I love it now.
Yeah, I know. It's like addicting.
And it's been a good thing for Nashville.
Yeah. Oh, big deal. Yeah. It's a huge deal. When my daughter and son-in-law drive down from Georgia to visit, they take extra back. So when they get home, they eat it here. The whole time they're here, and then they take extra home because they know they're not going to get it in Atlanta. And I said, oh, I told you, you know, just one time you have this and it's over. You're going to look for it every time you come to visit. So they, you know, have been, they've been married 15, 20 years, and every time they visit Mom, we're going to come over just as soon as we stop by and get this chicken. We'll bring you some. But they always make this part of their plans. A lot of people do when they come, the visitors.
Well, it's like if you come to Nashville, it's like going to San Francisco and you got to have chocolate or whatever down by the wharf.
Yeah.
Or going to Maine, you got to have a lobster. You come to Nashville, you got to have hot chicken.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that's really what the city, among other things. But you can certainly gain some weight in Nashville. The restaurants are really good.
You can. Yes.
And the cooking is good. And a lot of us know, y'all know. Now, Mayor Dean, do you cook?
You know, I cook less than I probably used to, but I do cook.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny. I guess...
Such as?
Well, I used to like to make chicken piccata. I cook on the grill. I'll cook tonight.
Oh, you on the grill.
Yeah, so I'll grill tonight.
What you having?
Hamburgers.
I was coming over. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I thought you was going to say steaks or something.
but I cook, but my wife does most of the cooking.
Okay.
But she's a very good cook.
Well, because she probably knows.
She knows, and I think she's she definitely is healthier about her eating and tries to encourage me down that path.
So, in other words, you say that you need to encourage her, though.
I do need the encouragement. I mean, I would, you know, I like food, and, you know, certainly the things that I like the best probably are not what she's recommending.
Like hot chicken and pizza.
So,
yeah. I'm surprised you don't make your own pizzas at home.
You know, we did do it this summer some, and I liked it. Actually, I thought it was a good. You can buy the
crust,
and you make it, and then you can buy the sauce and put whatever you want it. Yeah, I like doing that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I came over,
I can make you a pizza. I can make you a chicken piccata. I can make you a hamburger. I can make you a
salad.
I make salads, but you know, I do stuff like I buy the salad pre-made.
Why did I know that?
Ann doesn't dig that, but I like it, you know.
I just knew that's what you were going to tell me. I can't see you in the kitchen chopping. I just can't. I cannot. Anyway, I'm happy to have had in the studio former mayor of Nashville, Carl Dean, and I haven't talked to him in a while. It was just good to circle back with one of the people who was a two-term mayor over our city during one of the times of growth. And as we close. I know the convention center was on your watch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a lovely place.
It really is.
Hard to believe that's where the bus station was. Hard.
A lot of parking was over there.
It was nothing.
That's right. The Greyhound station was there on.
Yeah. It's a vast wasteland.
Yeah.
Compared to now, the convention center is very, very nice. Very nice. Anyway, Mayor Dean, well, let me know if ever you all want to get the grill out.
I'll let you know. You know where to find me at Christmas time. So
I'm calling. Yeah. I am definitely calling. We're going to, when we finally do get to, hopefully back together for this Christmas time, everybody said they want to be here. So, you know, and I'm going to invite everybody. Actually looking forward to that when we all get back together.
Oh, for sure.
All right, Nashville. That's all we have for you tonight, and that is ALL. Wind advisory in effect for you. Watch your weather. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.